We're looking at the importance, the greatness of peace. Adam Kamsan, a man who is a Kamsan, a miser, very stingy with his money. Kamsan. Shemakpid al Hotzartea, Shelish Top, that is very particular about the expenses his wife spends. Umuhan Larivita, Bishvil Kamashekalim, and is prepared to get into an argument with her over a handful of shekels, or kol sukum sheyeh, or whatever sum we're talking about. Sheladatohi bizbaza yeter al hamida, that in his opinion, she wastes more money than she needs to. Sofol afsid gam et hashalom agata gam et hamamon. The end, in the end, that same person, the husband or him, will lose not only his shalom bayit, but also the money that he's so worried about. Ki kasher ein shalom bayit, because when there's no shalom bayit, miyad nifka'at ha-panasa, immediately parnasa is damaged. Nimsa, it turns out, shehu ratza larviach mamon, v'afsid haber mamon. Turns out that although this person, he wants to save money, he ends up losing a lot of money. Ubermet lua ya yodea heza bracha yesh b'shalom bayit. And really, if he would have known what bracha there is in having shalom bayit, yodea shalosha bela sidat shalom, he would have known that it's not worth anything to lose his shalom bayit. Afilu l'rega, even for a moment, ba'ad shum hon ba'alam, not for any value, any amount in the entire world, and all the more so for a few shekels. Right? The power of the blessing of shalom bayit for a person, for a man's parnasah, is far greater than any sum he thinks he can save by trying to stop his wife spending money. If your wife wants to spend money, very happy. B'chavod. If you have the money available, literally, if you have it, if you don't have it, and there's no money in the account, so fine, you haven't got what to spend. But if you have the money, you just don't want to spend it, you want to save it for something, not a good idea. Not a good idea. The amount that I think I'm saving, I stop my wife buying whatever it is, I'm actually losing. And it's a big test. And a husband is going to get tested at whatever level. The husband can say, no, I'm very generous, I let my wife spend what she likes. I'm not makpid on spending. But then Hashem is going to test me and say, ah. So he's going to give me an occasion. My wife, whatever, decides she sees a pair of shoes. Right? Usually shoes, because men don't understand shoes. Men's shoes are shoes. Right? It's a pair of black shoes. It's a pair of black shoes. What do you care? Right? But for a woman, shoes is like, it's part of that. They have a part of an neshama called Bina that men don't have. And within there's a section on shoes in Bina, which we just don't have. They have this whole section in their neshama, their brain, on shoes and how this shoe is much better than that one, and we just don't understand it. So my wife comes to me and she says, I saw this amazing pair of shoes, I really want to get it. So they cost 16,000 shekel or whatever it is, like a lot more than I thought is reasonable for a pair of shoes. Why can't you spend 100 shekel like me? These are 100 shekel. No, I just joke. Like the stamp, whatever sum it is. But it's going to be more than I thought. Why? Because Hashem is testing me right now. So what can I do? So my initial reaction, because it's normal, is like, ooh, take a deep breath, take a breath. Hesitate, stammer, cough a few times, right? Try and decide what to do. Truth is, I have to let her have it. Purely a test from Hashem. Of course, you want them, you have them. You want them, you have them, for sure. Right? And it won't be easy all the time. There will be tests, and Hashem is testing me to see me, right? And he's going to make it difficult for me. It's not like he won't be make it easy. That my wife comes to me and say, you know what? I've been saving up. I've been wanting a new pair of shoes for 15 years, and I've looked at them and I haven't bought them, and I thought about them and I came back and I had weeks and thinking about, and now I've decided I think it's good to get them. No, she's going to be in a bad mood one day and she's going to feel really bad, and she wants a pair of shoes to make her feel better. And I say, you don't even like the shoes, you just want to feel good, you just want to spend some money to feel good, right? I get everything at once. Hashem can make all the scenarios and situations to give me a Yetzer Hara to say that this is not a good idea.
But this is not tested for anyone, right?
What?
Because Hashem tests you now. Let's say your wife comes and you want her shoes for 800 shekels. You have to do that.
Yeah.
You say, okay, bye. Because you trust in Hashem.
Right.
If you give you the money. You know, when you stop and say, oh, no, I have no 800 shekels.
Yeah.
Not trust that Hashem gives you 800 shekels.
No, Chomer, here, you're right also. I'm not disagreeing, but here, the bigger reason, the Ikar, is not my trust in Hashem. My Ikar is Shalom Bayit. Shalom Bayit, whatever my wife wants to make her happy, that's the Ikar. You know, you're right, it's also a question of Emunah, but my focus has to be on her. That to keep the Shalom Bayit. And I'll only win by that.
But there are certain wives that, what they call, do retail therapy.
Yes.
Whether it is two cockatiels, eight parakeets, four finches that ran into 50 finches.
And five cats.
Five cats.
No, so you're right. Look, so if we're talking about a situation that's not simply a one-off, a normal part of marriage, but is a, as you say, a retail therapy addiction that a wife has. So then the husband needs to see that there's an issue here, right? Why does my wife need retail therapy? Because, I have to see, probably, maybe because I'm not giving her the attention that she needs. She needs it from somewhere else. She needs to feel filled up from something. How is she filling up herself? By buying something new, making me feel good. I've got something new, I've got something else new, I've got something else new. Right? There's a hole missing. I'm trying to fill a hole, fill a gap. That gap is from the husband. I'm not saying for sure, but it could be that I'm not providing what I need, not giving my wife what I need. If I was giving her everything she needs, she doesn't need anything new. She doesn't care. She might still ask, right? Because Hashem still wants to test me. Right? She doesn't really need it. So she's not going to do it all the time. If she's doing it all the time, then there's a bigger problem that I need to look at. Why it's happening all the time. What's Hashem trying to tell me? Okay. Lumat zot. On the other side of it, Adam shekavod ishto yoter chashuv lo mikol hon shebaolam. On the other side, a husband who does respect his wife and values her as more important than all the wealth in the world, and all the more so, for sure, he doesn't even think of embarrassing her or criticizing her for the sake of a few shekels. That she could save by buying something else, or even thousands of shekels. Tamid yelo shefa velo yichselokim. Always he will have shefa and he won't lack for anything. Ki amru Chazal, because Chazal said, kabdu nashoteichem kedei shetishavu, that you should honor your wives in order that you become rich. The man who honors his wife, whether it's allowing her to buy the more expensive brand of shampoo when there's an equally good one that she could buy that costs five shekels less, why don't you get this one? It's cheaper, right? So, if I respect my wife, say, no, she wants that shampoo. I can't see the difference. Soap is soap. What's the difference, right? Come on, this one's pink soap, that one's blue soap. It's all the same, right? But no, I'm not going to embarrass her or criticize her. I'm going to, I respect her. You want that one? For sure, wonderful. So for sure, a person who is saving five shekels by not upsetting my wife, and even if it's thousands, your wife comes home and she says, I was just on the internet and I saw this great new course in flower arranging. and it's really cool, and I've always wanted to do flower arrangements. Never even thought of flower arranging. I've always wanted to do it. It only costs $2,000. I'm just going to do a course on the internet, and they're going to send me all the stuff, right? Yeah, and you're thinking to yourself, well, just type into Google flower arranging, and it'll just tell you how to do it. Why do you need a whole course?
YouTube videos.
Or you, whatever, right? Look, she wants to do the $2,000 course from, the, and she gets a little certificate that's printed off the internet, right? That shows. Wonderful, right? It's not my job to say you can just do it on Google. Just YouTube it. You'll get the answer, right? She wants to do that. That's kavod, kavod edishta. Hashem is testing me. Am I giving it, right? $2,000. That's a waste of money. You just straight. Why don't you just pour it down the drain? Just put it straight in the bin. I'm like, that's my. How long did it take me to earn that money? No, it's not the right attitude. Why? Because there's a rule. Chazal tell us the rule. It's even in the Shulchan Aruch. The person who respects his wife will become wealthy. The wife is the pipe. Right? We know from the Rav's book, Gana Osher, Gone of Wealth. That's what it's called. So in English, the blue one with the money picture on the front. Anyway, so he says in there, he explains, right? The wife is the pipe, source of abundance. The money flows through the wife. If the wife is constricted, no money's coming through. Well, a little, you get whatever you get out, but at the end, but and all the rest gets stuck. Can't get through that pipe. The wife is the pipe. She needs to feel relaxed. She needs to feel comfortable. She needs to feel like she can have everything she wants. And then everything's clean and open, and the wealth could just come through. Shem is going to give me wealth for two reasons. One, he sees that I'm respecting my wife, I'm fulfilling the Torah, I'm trusting in him, I'm having a munah. You're free. We're going to give you a nice reward for that. And now you're actually going to get the reward, because the reward can actually get to you. Before, you did good stuff. You're right, you did great stuff. I also rewarded you. You just never saw it. It never got through. Got stuck. Got stuck in that pipe. So it's very difficult. It's a big test for us.
Yeah, throw me a commentary about before the fact that in a very, without any criticism, a husband can give guidance if the husband's main objective is not to save the money, but to give guidance, as the wife said, I want the courses to. I mean, is there a way that the husband could say, if money was not the concern, to say, without criticism, an option you may want to consider, and then if she doesn't, then you just find but it's a very narrow bridge, because if you cross it over, if money is the true root concern, then you can't do that.
Right.
If guidance is in it, it can't have anything negative in it. Yes,
you provide. Right. So, I think you kind of half answered the question yourself. But I think first point I would say is, I don't recall seeing anywhere, I might be wrong, but I don't recall seeing anywhere in Rav Shalom's books where he says guidance is a good thing or allowed. He doesn't talk about guidance is not part of marriage. It's not my job to guide my wife. It's not my job. My wife is a grown up. She went to college. She learns, she reads books, she doesn't need me to tell her how to run the kitchen, how to run the shopping, how to run anything. She knows better than me. Right? Hashem puts it in my head to tell me that I know better, and that's a big test, it's a big Yetzer Hara. So for sure I think I know better, but the truth is she's lasted quite well without me before she met me, and she'll be do quite fine without my advice. So that I think is an important. But the second thing that you said is also correct. Even though I think I'm giving advice which is not based on money, truth is probably is based on money. The reason I care, why do I care if she wants to do a course? She likes the course, she should do it. The reason I care is because I don't want to spend the money. So I'm now going to try and find good reasons and good advice and good guidance to move her off that position. So bottom line is, I care about the money, and I can't hide it. No matter how I pretend, and I convince myself, and I think I got away with it. Oh, maybe you want to look at this. Oh, look, I was looking on the internet, and I saw you can just find that information over here. Amazing. And my wife says, "Oh, thank you very much." And I think I got away with it. No chance. She knows exactly what I just did and why I just did it. She's like way ahead of me. Right. She knows that I was just being cheap. She knows I was just being cheap. You didn't want me to buy that course, did you? Of course it's true.
I learned Rabbi Nachman about the highest point, obviously, is to give.
Yeah.
When you give, it makes you happy, simple.
Right.
So when you not give, there's only sin. When you are a taker, there's sin.
Right.
So maybe right. Hashem won't.
Okay, so Nachman, so this
help
is.
Help us to
Nachman,
give.
You're right.
Come happy.
For sure. But here we're also getting more than that, because giving generally is great. We should give to everyone. But we see that we don't go around giving to everyone, even if we'd like to. But a special case is your wife. Because the husband, you should know that the more you give to your wife, the more you're going to benefit. You don't get the same brocha. It's very nice to give if someone comes around and collecting for tzedakah, someone needs some help. It's good to give. I don't start giving lots and lots and right. It's not the same idea that here is that when the husband gives, he actually, that's how he gets the wealth. Also the fact that Hashem sees, if you're using the money for what I want you to use it for, I'm going to give you that money available. Hashem wants me to give to my wife. It's a law, a Torah, you know, it's like Torah. He wants you to look after your wife. So if you're spending money on the right things, meaning your wife, then Hashem says, oh, I can give you more money. Because you're using it where you want it, where it's meant to be. If I'm using it for not good things, using it for myself, right, I have to buy stuff that I need, but if I'm not using it, right, they just like upstairs, so too down here. Nachon, everything down here, we have a mashal for what's going on upstairs. So there's a nice mashal for this that you find. You're probably well aware of it yourself, but it's worth bringing up here. There's an idea that, it's not an idea, it's true, it happens, that the local councils, local councils in each area, they get a budget. They get a budget from the government, or they get a budget from the area that they're in, to spend each year, whatever it is, 1,000,000 shekels. Let's say this local council gets 1,000,000 shekels to spend each year. What happens if they don't spend it all? They only spend 800,000 this year, because that's how much I had spent it. So next year you only get 800,000. Right? It's not, you don't get praised for saving the money. And well done, you managed to save on your budget and you didn't spend everything. And therefore we reward. No. They take you obviously don't need it. I'm not going to give you 1,000,000 next year. You don't need it. You don't need it. Same to in Shemayim. If you made this year $100,000 and you save 20,000, put it away. And it's no good, because next year you're only going to get 80. Because Hashem said, oh, you only need 80, you didn't need 100. Why don't give me 100 if you only need 80? You don't get it. Hashem gives us money for what we need. He doesn't give us money to put under the bed, to put under the mattress, to save for a rainy day. So it's not what Hashem gives the money to use.
So at the same time, because the Jewish guy, you look at all these instant Jewish building houses, in Denmark.
Okay.
Then they're building Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook.
Okay, but not lots of them. There's a few.
So,
all right.
Okay. Well, now he's worth $50 billion.
Okay.
What does he go out and do?
I don't know.
Where's a non-Jewish girl?
Okay.
So, where does anybody need $50 billion?
The reason why he got $50 billion is not clear to us. However, it's not clear to us. We don't know. We have no clue why he needed why Hashem needed to give him $50 million, or on paper anyway. He hasn't got it. You can't spend. You can't eat it. How much can you spend? Right? You can have that next to your name. That next to your name on somebody's electronic screen in the bank somewhere says $50 million. Doesn't mean you've got. Well, yeah, 50, doesn't mean anything. It's like not there. You've got the money that you can spend in the makolet. To have an extra $50 billion in the bank, who cares? It's like, so the fact that he's got $50 million written next to his name, why he needed that happen? Don't know. For sure there's a good reason in Shemayim. In a previous Gilgul he did something special. So, I know, it's a big test. Right? It's often not a good thing at all. Right? I don't know how he's living his life. Whether it's close to Torah, close to Hashem. I would assume it's very difficult for him to be close to Torah or close to Hashem. With 50 million in the bank, 50 billion in the bank, having much money, very difficult. It's almost impossible. So it's a huge test. So at the end of 120, what was that? That was a gift? No. It was a punishment. Mamash, a punishment. It destroyed his life. Destroyed his life. Ah, but he went on yachting, cruisers. He went, I don't know, how many yachts can you go on? He went to the Caribbean 67 times until he got bored of it. And then he tried to find somewhere else that he hadn't been to go on a different boat with a different sail. I mean, right? And he spent his life doing that, and he ate all different types of steak. How many different types can you eat? I don't know. And some were donkey, and some were horse, and so I don't know what you can taste in the end. So he spent his life doing that. For what? He wasted his entire life. Wasted his entire life. But you can see, easily how it can destroy your entire life. You can think that this is it. For sure, this world is an upside down world. But this is the heart to free, young, single, 30, healthy. The world in front of you, 50 billion in the bank.
Nothing.
Disaster. Disaster. For the Facebook guy. Facebook guy. The guy who did Facebook. Right? So,
and his parents.
It's when he. This is the blink of an eye, and then you've got eternity.
And
it looks good, and for sure we would all say thank you very much. Right? But we're trying to hold on to the truth as best we can. And the truth is, it's mamash not a bracha. If you had 50 million, you would be sitting there today. You'll be sitting in that chair listening to this. You're getting endless mitzvahs and world to come based on the last year. And, you know, right?
Just sitting.
Just, right? And if you had that money in the bank, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't. No reason to
be. You know me.
I don't know you. I know me. I know me. And for sure, I wouldn't be here, right? Right? None of us would. Right? We'd be sitting here. We'd be off snorkeling, scuba diving, I know what, with crazy stuff. Right? Destroying ourselves, our lives, our families, arrogant levels. No one can touch me. No one can speak to me without an appointment. Right? No one can spill a drop of coffee anywhere near me. Hello. Suit. $4,000. Right? Right? My life is hell. It's complete hell. Looks great. How many people with huge bank accounts killed themselves? Most of the people that kill themselves, right? They've come. It's not. It's a big punishment.
So, this is principle. Okay, the offered any government offered here in Yom Kippur. It's a guy who is billionaire.
Yeah.
He bought 14 houses.
14.
Right. He was looking for a garden. I'm not knowing that. But I gave an offer. Then I months later he passed away. He was in with his boat in the sea. He was not married. He had four children. He was end of 30 years. And he was really there. He bought 14 houses. One house cost maybe $10 million.
Mm.
So that's his life. That's his life.
They
found the boat in the sea with no person. Or they killed them, or they killed themselves. Not about it. It's not a tzedakah. When the money comes from the woman, now Hashem gives you the money, now he will test you, he give it to your wife, or he will stop it. Because you not believe that Hashem can give you more.
Right.
Maybe when she comes for 200 children, you say, okay, 200. When it's 2,000, I know. 2,000 should be. Maybe Hashem can give me 200, but not 2,000.
Right.
Stop here.
So everyone has their point, right? That we get tested on how much. Oh, I give you 200, but 2,000, no way. Also, we forget that the money came from her. We think we earned it. Right? There's no connection between going to work and the money coming in. They're two different things. You go to work, and the money comes separately. There's a famous story of Rav Nathan, I think, brings it. It's not in his Rabbi Nathan story, it's in one of the other books. Rav Nathan is a story of a poor man, a beggar, who comes into a new town, and he's looking for somewhere to get a meal. Right, especially now you can't walk into a town now and get a meal. But in the old days, when there were Jewish communities, you would go to the shul, see the gabbai. I say to the gabbai, where can I eat tonight? Where can I sleep tonight? And the gabbai said, yeah, go to so-and-so house. They'll put you up, right? So he went to the gabbai and he said, where can I get a meal? So he said, oh, follow this road, and at the top of the road, on the house on the right, you can go in there and get a meal. So, thank you very much. He goes up. So he went to the wrong house. He went to the one on the left. So he knocks on the door and says, I've come. Is it possible to get a meal? And the owner welcomes him, says, yeah, sure, come on in. Right, but first of all, I want you to help out. Can you fix this? Can you chop some wood? And he was working all day long. Got him working all day long. And the guy's thinking, oh, Tom, at least I'm going to get some food out of it at the end. And he works all day long. Eventually, at the end of the day, he's tired, exhausted, starving. Says to the guy, can I eat? Is it okay? Can I eat now? Can I get a meal? And the guy says to him, oh, you want to eat? Yeah, house over the road. They'll feed you. Walks into the house over the road, knocks on the door, doesn't say anything. They say, hey, come in, sit down, eat. Then he doesn't ask, bring him in, here's his arcade. Thank you very much, great. He's eating, he's talking to his friend, sitting next to him. I said, oh, what a day. Oh, my back's aching, I'm working in that place. Baruch Hashem, this is a great meal. Oh, how was it for you? You also worked hard? He said, no, didn't work at all. He said, what did you work? You didn't go to that house, you had to work for? No. Who says you had to go to that house? Just come here, you get it for free. You don't have to go there first. That house is for working, and this house is for eating. Rabbi Lachlan said that's our mashal for parnasa. We link the two. We think that you work hard, and at the end, you get given as a reward your parnasa. So Rabbi Lachlan says you work for free, and you eat for free. You work for free, and you eat for free. If you want to work, so you work. If you want to eat, so you eat. But they're not connected. Truth is, they're not connected. It's very difficult for us to accept that. So does it look like that?
If you see a young guy who's asking for tzedakah, you say, why aren't you working?
No, that's not my job. Well, sorry, go on. I interrupted you. So you say, why aren't you working?
You say, he wants money to eat. You say, why don't you get a job? You're young and healthy.
Yeah.
The two things are not related.
Nachman. Correct. But in our world, they are related. Why? Because they're related in the inner truth. The inner truth is they're not related at all. But to get to that inner truth, you need an emunah. Right? Rav Arish says clearly that a person who doesn't have that level of emunah needs to go and get a job. Unlike the person who comes to say, I need some money for food. So that person, if he's not holding at a level, he needs to get a job, or he needs to get from other people, or he needs to get from Panasek. Right? He doesn't get it straight from Hashem.
Okay, listen. Before I was in this too, but then I changed. Because it's written Rabbi Nachman, right? There can be a deen about you, and Hashem have always mercy. He sent you a person, and they ask for tzedakah. Now, you give a guy, is it 10 agorot, 1 shekel, 2 shekel, or more? You give him a guy, you're not thinking about, okay, why you not go walk or this. You give him, maybe there's a deen about you. So he chat the deen's family. Yeah? So I see it's in this side. Yeah? I not, Hashem put this in his mind to ask for tzedakah. But I see it's in this way, you understand?
That's
I see, okay. This person, I say, usually you have to hack him, there's a Toda Rabbah. Because maybe it's a deen Rabbah, you may have known. No, no. Hashem have mercy, the person who gives tzedakah.
Right. The Gemara says more than the person needs tzedakah, you need to give. Like, he comes for your benefit, not for his. Mm-hmm. Obviously, also for his, he needs the money, whatever. But you need him more than he needs you. You don't realize it. I don't realize how much I need. My neshama, my tikkun, needs me to give tzedakah. So Hashem created poor people so that I could do that. I could work on myself to give tzedakah.
Everybody in the synagogue, they come always every week, the same person. Always I have something about me. Always. But now I give. I got my zeal. Because I said, no, Hashem put in every week, maybe there's something, you give him. Not think about what you do with the money, maybe you have money, or you're not good, or maybe you dress like riches. It's not my
Right. But all of these things are very...
Only when they take talks, it's when you have to do.
It's very difficult. None of these things are simple. Right? And we get tested on all different levels. And everyone gets tested. And things change, right? So even now, I start to give to this person. Later on, Hashem's going to give me a different test with a different person. But with our wives, we should know that if we give to them, that's the best way to ensure a good panasa. Turns out if a person is prepared to forego, to waive their honor, to give up their money for the sake of peace, sake of shalom bayit, then he benefits, not only he gets the shalom bayit, but he also gets the money too. Because from the merit of the peace that he shall buy it, he gets bracha in his life. And he will have a lot of paranasa from that bracha. Of how great is shalom buy it?